Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for joining us today. I'm very excited to get straight to our guest. We have Stephen Moore on with us here today, and he's a visiting fellow at Heritage Foundation. Stephen, the last time I was talking to you, you were talking about the necessity of a payroll tax cut, and the president has delivered. I just want to give you the floor. Tell us, in your mind, what the president did, how that's going to help the American people.
Well, hi, Annie. Great to be with you. And by the way, I have to shut this off a little short today because I have to run on Fox in a minute to talk about this very subject. But I'll give you a sneak preview of what I'm going to say, which is
perfect.
This is an amazing, amazing turnaround, not just on the economy, but the election. I got to tell you, Annie, you know, I can't tell you how many calls, you know, dozens and dozens of calls from conservative activists around the country who were just overjoyed by what Trump has done. He's flipped the table on Nancy Pelosi. He's back in business. He looks like the old Donald Trump. I've said in recent weeks and or so, I'm a little concerned about Trump. He doesn't seem like he's got his A game on, but boy, did he have it back. And I don't know if you noticed his press conference on Saturday or Friday, which was just amazing. You know, he was back the old Donald Trump. He was funny. He was command of the fact. And he was, but this is a big deal. It means every single person listening to this show who gets a paycheck, if you're working, you know, because this goes to people who work, you get, and the liberals hate that. It goes to people who work. You know, liberals want to give money to people who don't work. We want to give money to people who do work. They will get a 7.5% pay raise in their paycheck starting immediately, retroactive August 1st. That's the money that's withheld from your paycheck on the payroll tax before you see it. And very popular with voters. It's going to be a nice stimulus. And now Pelosi, you know, who was basically asking Trump and, you know, Mark Meadows and Steve Mnuchin to roll over three times and wave the white flag of surrender in these negotiations. Now, all of a sudden, Donald Trump has the upper hand. And by the way, Annie, you know, he did a good thing on Friday in announcing this because Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer looked like their heads were going to explode.
Yeah, they did. And there's very little that they can do politically to now react to this. Although I do anticipate, based on what I'm hearing from other experts, and I can't wait to hear what you think about it, how quickly or will there be a legal challenge to the president's authority here?
Oh, they will challenge. Now, there were three or four different executive orders. I was involved in one on the payroll tax. And in fact, this stems from a piece I had in the Wall Street Journal last week, where I laid out how Trump could do this legally and how it would make sense politically and for the economy. And he picked up with it and ran with it. So that's a great thing. He has three other initiatives. One is on the unemployment benefits, which he would cap those at $400, which, by the way, is too high for me. You know, it was at $600. Right. Trump wants to take it to $400. Pelosi is, oh, my gosh, you're taking my hands out of starving children and so on, money out of the starving hands of starving kids and families. That's ridiculous. I mean, this still pays workers more money for not working than working. But, you know, how hypocritical is it? He's giving her the policy she wants, and she's suing him for doing it. And the same thing on the eviction notices, which, by the way, is another policy I don't necessarily agree with because I don't think it's fair to landlords to say people don't have to pay their rents. But this is something that she's agitated for. So Trump said, okay, I'll do it by executive action. And she's, you know, going to sue him on that one. And then something with respect to postponing student loan payments. And these are all things that liberals were for, and now they're against. And the same thing on the payroll tax. We've got these wonderful clips of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Joe Biden saying how great it was for the economy when Barack Obama cut the payroll tax. But now that Donald Trump wants to do it, oh, it's the worst thing ever.
It's funny how that works, isn't it? I want to ask you about
She was for it before she was against it.
Yeah, I know. Trump seems to be the decisive factor in what Nancy Pelosi is for and against.
That's right.
The payroll tax cut, you talked about the 7.5% raise. If people have a job, they're going to get this. I've heard the number $100,000 income being thrown out there. I'm curious I've had this question myself. If you got a single income family and somebody makes $110,000, but they're living in, maybe Chicago, Illinois or New York State, are they going to be able to benefit from this? Is there a household filing jointly parameter that takes that kind of thing into consideration, or is it strictly just based on individual salary?
Well, that's a good question, and you know what? I don't know the exact answer to it. I know that it's $100,000 cutoff. Excuse me. I believe that is for per person. So any worker that makes less than $100,000 will get this payroll tax cut, and that's 80% of workers. So it goes right to the middle class. That's what drives Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Biden crazy is they keep saying how they're for the working class, they're for the blue collar workers in America. Okay, Trump gives them a 7.5% pay boost by not withholding this money from their paychecks, and oh my gosh, the left is going absolutely crazy on this because Trump just stole an issue from them. Now who do you think cares about working class Americans? Joe, you said you're for made in America. We're going to give people who make things in America a boost in their pay, and you're against it?
Yeah, we're speaking with visiting fellow at Heritage Foundation, Stephen Moore, who's going to have to run here in just a second. But before we let you go, the president did say in that press conference that if he gets elected, he's going to work to make this permanent. I have a suspicion that you have something to do with that. And then it seems to me like afterwards there was some political tidying up of that comment. Just curious of your thoughts on his commitment, verbal commitment this past weekend to take this a step further.
Well, the president has the authority to postpone the tax, but he doesn't have the authority to cancel it. And what we really want is a 6-month post, cancellation of this tax so people can keep the money and they can go out and spend it and they can earn more money. And so the president doesn't have the authority to do it. So what I advise is, okay, tell the American people you're going to suspend the tax, but tell them if and when he is reelected next year, we're going to forgive those tax payments, so people actually get to keep the money. I want to hear what Joe Biden has to say about that, Annie. Do you think Joe Biden's going to say, no, if I'm president, I'm going to require people to make double payroll tax payments next year? I mean, this is great. I think Trump has really taken it. He's taken it to Joe Biden. And, I don't know. Has Biden come out of his hiding place today? I don't know. I haven't seen him around.
I don't believe so. Is this going to hurt Social Security? I mean, you got Nancy Pelosi out there saying that this is defunding of these Medicare and Social Security that because of this action.
Yeah, so this is so great, too, because Nancy Pelosi is the one 10 years ago who was asked that question by Judy Woodruff. And, is this going to hurt Social Security that Barack Obama is cutting the payroll tax? Oh, no, it's not going to hurt the system at all. We're going to put bonds in it. We're going to make sure it's safe and so on. And so now she's saying exactly the opposite. I mean, this is the problem Democrats have. They're on tape, Annie. We've got them on tape saying this stuff. I mean, they're saying exactly the opposite. So, in other words, just to summarize, what they're saying is they are for a payroll tax cut, which is the best thing for working class Americans when Barack Obama does it. It's the worst thing in the world when Donald Trump does it. It's those double standards.
Yeah, and we're getting pretty used to that. Stephen Moore, we're going to let you go. We know you've got other things to tend to, and we value your time here. Thank you so much. Good to talk to you.
Okay, thanks, Annie. Have a great week. Bye.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. Exciting stuff there to hear about that. So the 7.5, the 7.5% pay raise, that ain't bad. It's going into your paycheck. It's basically not coming out of your paycheck. The stimulus check that you've cashed before or has been direct deposited, that was money that came out of your paycheck that the government allowed you to have back again. This will be money that will not be removed from your paycheck. So it does get to your paycheck faster. It'll be interesting to see how the, how we get around to the suing of this. Who's going to do it? My money's on Mitt Romney.
Oh, wow.
Think about it.
Dang.
If he leaves the charge, I mean, who hates Donald Trump more than Mitt Romney?
That's true.
I don't know that there's a Democrat that does. And this if they can get him to sign on, I don't know what kind of deals he needs to sign with the devil in order to make that be the case. But if he joins a bunch of Democrats and I don't know.
What a win for Trump. like coming out there, being a boss, saying, I'm just going to make this executive order because Congress can't get it together.
Right.
So let me just do this. And now it's like they have, just like what Stephen Moore highlighted, now Chuck and Nancy have nothing to say because Trump took it into his own hands and was like, I'm going to do this for the American people, especially for the middle class. I got
and it's,
this.
It's all political, folks. Everything about this is political. He, just like Stephen Moore was saying, it is an instance where Trump threatened to do this and he followed through because he's the executive. I mean, executive orders are always going to be challenged in the legal system. And when it comes to DACA, we just had that Supreme Court ruling. Good Lord knows what the Supreme Court is going to do on any given day. But DACA was created because Barack Obama signed it into law. He had a pen and he had a phone and he signed it into law. That's how DACA was initiated. So then Trump's like, well, I'm going to unsign it. And Supreme Court's like, nope. It's not that DACA is okay. It's just the way you went about it is wrong. So then they regroup and they will probably take care of that, try to take care of whatever they want to take care of in the second term if they have one. But an executive order is I don't want to say a threat because it's more than a threat. It is action that is requiring a reaction. Does the Congress have the responsibility to manage this situation? Yes, in fact, they do. Should this responsibility reside with Congress? Yes, in fact, it should. If the president has an executive order and it is out of bounds for him to do that, it should be challenged legally. But this is the process. And this is like, Trump is not the first. And by the way, he is way behind on playing catch up on signing executive orders. And I am not. I detest the what about game where we say, well, Bill Clinton was the leader of executive orders and Barack Obama had this many. Mm-hmm. I don't care because chances are I thought it was dumb when Obama was doing it. And I thought it was, you know, potentially totalitarian for him to have his pen in his phone. I would say the same thing here for the president. And if his executive order is unlawful, then challenge it. That's how the system goes. The United States is founded on the most intricate and advanced system of checks and balances that has ever existed. And the power of those checks and balances is always supposed to lie with you. You're the voter. You're the one who's sitting here listening to me talk about this, or Stephen Moore talk about this, or Nancy Pelosi talk about how Donald Trump's probably killing people with the latest thing that he did. You're hearing this, and one of you is saying, you know, this is the ballsiest move that the president has done so far. Like Stephen Moore said, like, he looks like his old self, which I would correct and say his young self. Mm. He's starting to look like he's got a little bit of his swagger back. And I can see that side of it. But I can also see the side that's going, good grief, this is Congress. This is an appropriation of funds. This is where Congress is supposed to act. Okay, sue him. Congress, get your tail in order and get something done and go about the process. Check the balance. That's the way this works. And I wish, you know, how many times, fellow Republican voters and moderate voters and people who don't like tyranny and socialism, how many times have you looked at the Republican Party and been like, oh my gosh, stop talking and start doing? Like, I am so sick and tired of being like, you know, the hand-wringing, well, we're supposed to do this, and that mm-hmm. It's really a shame that the Democratic Party would go and do that. And you're sitting here as a Republican saying, do something. Well, the president of the United States just did something. So now we wait and see what happens next. So, all right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, I got nothing. I got absolutely nothing. Katie, what am I talking about? I got no Ryan Wiggins, so I have no weird distraction to throw in here.
Nope. We're just going to go with it.
So I said earlier in the show that I had purchased 8 Christmas gifts over the break because there was a really good deal going on a website that allowed me to get a lot of Christmas gifts for some kiddos in my family. And I said, if I come across the right gift now, between now and Christmas, now is the time where I'm like, oh, that would be perfect for Katie Fitzpatrick. I got to buy it. So then I buy it. And then it's just a slow burn into Christmas so that when the Christmas season gets here, this is what I tell myself in August. When the Christmas season gets here, I get to enjoy it. You put your Christmas decorations up right before Thanksgiving. And you
crazy
when Christmas season starts, everything's done and you just bask in it. The warmth and the merriment of Christmas.
Where's Tony Colombo?
Yeah, he's probably hammering his radio right now. Put up your Christmas decorations whenever you want. Put them up right now if you want, because it's America and you can do that stuff. But I need to know what to get Ryan Wiggins for Christmas. Last year I got him a 6 foot long or something Twix bar, and he's not eating sugar.
Mm-hmm.
So I need suggestions. Facebook.com/Annie Fry Show. Go give me your suggestions there. The Annie Fry YouTube page, and now streaming at Annie Fry Show on Twitter. We're everywhere. It's pretty obnoxious. We'll be right back.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Somebody had the greatest idea here on our Facebook page. So I've said a couple times that I've purchased some Christmas gifts this weekend, and I'm seeking out suggestions of what I should give Ryan Wiggins for Christmas because he's on vacation today, and he'll be on vacation tomorrow. He should be back Wednesday, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
So last year, I gave him this 6 foot long Twix bar. I don't even know if it was that long, but it was a gigantic Twix bar.
Huge.
And because he loves candy. The dude loves candy more than any grown individual should.
Yeah.
So he's been on a sugar-free diet. He's lost like 20 pounds or something. I don't remember what the last number he said. He and his wife have been doing this because he eats like a raccoon or a what do you call the possums? Just thinking, who else eats trash? So I said, suggest some things that people should, that I should give him. And Carlo said I was going to suggest the 5 pound gummy bear that is made with sugar substitute, but he might try to eat it and that would cause ... issues. I don't know if you've ever read any of the reviews about, what takes place when you eat. Katie, you did not know about this, right?
I did not know anything about this.
So if you go onto Amazon, I've just pulled some up here real quick. The reviews on the, how did you say that you pronounce the gummy bear?
I think it was
Haribo.
Yeah, Haribo.
I'm not a gummy bear aficionado like Ryan Wiggins is, but these sugar-free gummies are apparently notorious. And here's a review. Yes, but monthly sessions of eating an entire bag within 24 hours will result in freedom from needing additional exorcisms. it's well known fact that alien spacecrafts utilizes flatulence as its main source of propulsion.
There is a gentleman that goes by Luke that wrote a 5 paragraph essay, it looks like, for a customer review, and the title is "See You in Hell, Sugar Free Gummy Bears."
Yeah, like this is a real thing. Why do they exist? Or are they medicinally consumed? I mean, I'm not going to show all of these on the chat here, and if you have any experience personally with sugar-free gummy bears and you can keep it FCC clean, you can call us at 314-241-9797. But I did not know about this until somebody literally posted on Facebook maybe a month within the last month, was like, if you're having a bad COVID day, just go read the reviews for Haribo sugar-free gummies on Amazon. And there are over 12,000 ratings this product and hundreds of reviews of people who have eaten these or been given them gifts and like eaten a bag of them thinking they were regular gummies. And then just the elaborate stuff.
It looks like they're inexpensive. The sugar-free ones specifically are not expensive. So maybe that's why people are buying them. I have no idea, but it's amazing.
Are you the type of person who, Katie, who would think that giving somebody a bag of these and then letting them go through that, is that like the cruelest thing that someone could do, or is that Low-key hilarious.
I would think it was so funny. That's the kind of prank that I like. I love pranks
like that. What if they did
it to you? It would be horrifying, I'm sure. The experience would be just absolutely horrifying. But at the end of the day, I'd have a really good laugh. That's the kind of stuff I like. Things that aren't like mean and hateful.
Oh, I think it's terrible.
I think it's great.
No, I would feel so, I would feel so guilty. I would not be able to handle it.
Yeah,
like I could see a scenario where we gift him this and we're like, the key is though that you have to eat them all before the show starts, and then we just, that would be a high traffic day on the website.
Yes, it would, and it would be really, really bad for Ryan Wiggins.
If you get COVID, eat a 5-pound gummy bear and you will poop out the virus. Christopher says on Facebook.
I have never heard of this before.
Can we get Dr. Hardiman back on here? We have another question for him.
I have never heard of this.
Somebody tweet that at Trump. 50-50, he actually goes with it. There's hydroxychloroquine and then there's sugar-free gummy bears.
He'll retweet it. It's fine. This is great. I'm not a gummy bear person.
Mm-mm.
I've never been a waste of calories. Yeah. I've never. It's either chocolate candy or nothing for me.
So did I tell the story on the air about the kitchen sink at on our vacation?
No.
There's this restaurant called Beaches and Cream. And at this restaurant, it's a very like Americana kind of burgers and French fries and tater tots and stuff. Typical vacation food. It's very good food. Hot dogs. And what they're famous for at this restaurant is a dessert, and it's called the kitchen sink. And the thing about the kitchen sink is that it's the bowl is shaped, imagine this for a second, like a kitchen sink. And then they put in like, it's like 8 gigantic scoops of ice cream. The idea is that it feeds the whole table and then some. And they put in a can of whipped cream on top of it. And it's just this gigantic monstrosity of dessert. I'm putting a picture up here of it on the live, so if you want to see it, you can check it out here right now. But they bring it out and they put it in front of you, and then they give you this like big spoon. They give you all these individual bowls or whatever, and they come out, they turn off the lights in the restaurant, and then they have these like flashing siren looking lights that go around, and then the server comes out with this thing and they announce everything that's in it, and then they bring it to your table. So you have no shame when you do something like
this. So cute.
And they're like, in a whole can of whipped cream, and then the whole restaurant goes, a whole can, and then they put it in front of you and then you eat it.
This is
one of those things that from a vacation standpoint, of everything that we did as a family, this is probably the memory that they'll have when they're 42.
Oh, I love that. Everyone was smiling the whole entire time in that video.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely insane. But yeah, this is the type of excess Americana that you get when you take trips to Central Florida. It's insane.
Did you guys all eat it?
We scooped out, like, there were standard size like dessert bowls that they had with it, and we scooped out ahead of time, so everybody got a bowl, which was honestly a moderate sized dessert compared to other places that you might go. And then we were like, no more. This is what you get.
Yeah.
But at the end, it's soupy and it's nasty. Well, the one that we ordered was like a cookies and cream with brownies and Reese's peanut butter cups, but it was like a vanilla chocolate peanut butter mesh of things. Mm-hmm. The other one that they have is like 8 different kinds of ice cream and all the whipped cream and sprinkles, but then they put gummies on top of it. I never understood the gummy as an adult in ice cream. Like, as a kid, you're not discerning about anything. But a hard gummy and ice cream? Blech.
Absolutely not. It does nothing to it. It doesn't add anything, but I guess if you like that kind of texture, that would be the only benefit, but yuck.
No.
Gross.
But kids love it. You know, you get the dirt and worms type of a sundae or something like that. I'm all for it. Just save the gummies. All right. I'm going to break a little bit early because when we come back, Hogan Gidley is going to join us. He is the national press secretary for the Trump campaign. He used to be with the White House from the government side, and we used to not be able to talk to him about election things. Well, now he is the voice of the Trump campaign. He is their press secretary, and he's going to join us as soon as we come back. And I'm going to ask him about Trump's executive orders, including postponing the student loan payments requirement through the rest of the year. That's one thing that the president did. You'd think that the Democrats would love that. The payroll tax cut implementation and others. So Hogan Gidley will join us when we get back, and maybe I'll show the video here on the break, on our live, of them bringing out the kitchen sink to our table. Like, my kid is never been happier than in this moment, which is saying something about my parenting. All right, we'll be back in just a minute.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You have a virus that comes in, and you have people in Congress that don't want to help our people. If Democrats continue to hold this critical relief hostage, I will act under my authority as president to get Americans the relief they need. And what we're talking about is deferring the payroll tax for a period of months till the end of the year, and I can extend it at a certain period. Hopefully, I will be here to do the job. We're going to do the job. We've been doing a job like nobody could. Nobody would, actually. And so we're going to have the payroll tax go till the end of the year, and it'll be retroactive to July 1st.
So the president making big announcements this weekend regarding some of those executive orders that he said that nobody could, and then he corrects himself to say that nobody would, which I think is kind of a subtle, it sounded like it was an afterthought of what he was saying, but in the moment, you have to understand that what the president decided to do this weekend was in the wake of the people whose responsibility is to take care of the American people in this capacity have been unable to do so. And if anybody in this country is holding their breath right now, waiting on the opportunity for Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi to be able to come together on something, you might want to re-inhale and exhale for a second, because I can't look into Washington, D.C. and see anything being done for the American people that doesn't have an immense amount of political capital for those people in Congress. Most of them are going to be elected, reelected here in November as well, and the stakes are super high, as they are for the president, and that's why we welcome Hogan Gidley, the National Press Secretary for the Trump campaign, onto the show. Hogan, it's a pleasure to have you back. First time in your new role here as the National Press Secretary for the Trump campaign, so thank you for the time.
Absolutely. I really appreciate you having me on. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. So the president's actions this weekend seem to be because the folks in Congress couldn't get a deal done. Set up to us for us what brought the president to this moment, and has he been willing to compromise, to work with people across the aisle prior to these executive orders?
Absolutely. And look, he even made the suggestion, from our side, as the GOP, the White House said, we will keep the current payments in place to buy us some time so we can negotiate. And Democrats said no to that. It is pretty clear what Nancy Pelosi is doing. She is playing politics with people's lives, and no one should be surprised by that in any form or fashion. She held up the COVID relief package once, one of the other versions of it earlier in the year, to add on all these crazy Green New Deal pieces and all the stuff that had nothing to do with COVID whatsoever. That was exposed because so many of the items she wanted tacked into this bill are things she supported before COVID was even a thing. So we know it's purely politics with her. She did the same thing over border funding, back in several Januaries ago. She and the Democrats do this pretty regularly. But the president said, listen, we're gonna move forward here. The American people need to pay rent. The American people need to be able to put food on the table and clothes on their kids' backs. And we've got to make sure they have something. This was done by the government. The government needs to take responsibility and fix it. And if the Democrats want to try and sue the president of the United States or the administration simply for giving money to people who have been impacted by government actions, be my guest, because that's going to look really, really bad. I mean, the whole thing's horrible on its face already. Now you're going to try and sue to stop people from getting money? That just didn't make any sense at all, but not atypical for Nancy Pelosi.
How much of what, Hogan, how much of what the president signed into with executive order this weekend has Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats who are in her caucus, how much of that have they previously supported in some way, shape, or form before the president decided to put it into effect with that executive order?
Well, that's what's so funny. I mean, these Democrats, they are always for things or against things, and have been for decades, taking positions. And then if Donald Trump takes a position, they just move quickly to take the opposite. It doesn't matter. 2012, they were talking about a payroll tax deferment. And Nancy Pelosi said, our economy and our people need this boost. It is a job creator. Now she's saying she doesn't want to do it. She's done that so many times. They were all for the wall. Then the president says he's going to build it. No, they don't want that either. So it lends you to believe that they just want the issue. They don't want the fix. I mean, they want DACA fixed, and the president offers three times that of what Barack Obama ever thought about offering, and they don't want that either. I mean, it just doesn't matter. They are just anti-Trump through and through. And I firmly believe if he came out tomorrow and said, I think I'm going to support Joe Biden for president, the Democrats would say, nope, think so. Change.
Is that why they made you the National Press Secretary? Maybe that's a good plan. Maybe he should come out and say that. That would be the number one way to get people to go against it. I want to ask you this question from a listener here who points this out about the deferral of for the payroll tax. People are having a lot of questions about what happens to the funding for Social Security and Medicare that would normally come from these taxes. What does a deferral mean? Does that mean that there are going to be people on the hook again after the period, after the December 31st date for these taxes? What is the president's answer to those types of questions?
Yeah, that's actually a great question for the White House and the administration. It's my understanding, based on what I've seen, what I've read, and also what I've talked to people within the administration about, is that this is not a threat at all to Social Security. It wasn't back then. It doesn't have to be paid back. It wasn't in 2012. It isn't now. So Democrats trying to press that, that's just not true. And the president's been very clear. He's not only going to protect Social Security, Medicare, but he's also going to make sure that pre-existing conditions are covered as well. We all know where Obamacare is headed. It doesn't look like its future is long for this earth. And if so, the president moved quickly in a bold move to make sure pre-existing conditions, for example, were protected. So it's my understanding it's not going to affect Social Security at all. The president has been very clear on multiple occasions that we're not touching those things. And it's interesting because I'll go a little historic for you here. I worked for Mike Huckabee, and he was one of the ones who said we can't touch Social Security or Medicare. Those are things. I mean, those are promises the government made with the people, and you can't mess around with those just because the government made bad investments and doesn't and overspends money. That's not our fault. So it's a deal that we made with the American people. They pay in, they get a certain amount out. The president's going to protect it at all costs.
I want to ask you, shift gears a little bit. We're speaking with Hogan Gidley, the national press secretary for the Trump campaign. And we're anticipating, any time now, really, the selection of the vice president for Joe Biden, who he's going to pick to be the other name on the ticket. Now, I'll tell you, as a female myself and as a mother of two young girls, I have an 8-year-old and a 4-year-old, that I'm never going to raise my daughters to accept something for anything more than they've earned. And I will say personally, as a woman, that if I were selected to be what I'm kind of saying is similar to the arm candy for Joe Biden, where he has told us that he has to select a woman, and that he has also reiterated that he would prefer a woman of color, I don't feel like if that were, you know, me, if I were the one qualifying for that female position, I don't feel like I would have completely earned it. I feel like I would be filling a slot to support, at least in the leftist terms, that identity politics way of saying, I need a woman to make me look better as the man leading this ticket. How do you feel about the way Joe Biden has walked into this moment in time right before he's going to tell us who that vice president is? And do you feel like it's fair to women to say, well, I need a woman on this ticket because that's going to get me a certain amount of votes? I feel like that's demeaning.
Well, look, I have to say I'm far less concerned about the race, color, creed, gender of the pick, and more concerned with the policies the potential picks have already said they support. He has a bunch of folks he's looking at for this vice presidential spot. And they are all radical leftists with histories of supporting communism. I mean, you have an avowed communist, basically, as someone that is really close to potentially being chosen. And she, would be one heartbeat away from the White House. Let's not forget, where Kamala Harris is on that Green New Deal. I mean, that would kill 10 million jobs immediately. What I'm really concerned about is Joe Biden being that empty vessel and now being filled by the radical left-wing, socialist within his own party. And that includes all of these picks that he's looking at to fill the ticket. So I know there's going to be a lot of conversations from women just like yourself who are offended and upset. And believe me, you have the right to that opinion, no question about it. And In the mix, though, I want to be certain that we understand if you're upset by that, which again is your right, and you can be, take a look at the policies that they're going to espouse for this country as well. That's what I'm deeply concerned about when you have Joe Biden pushing all of these horrific ideas onto the American people, standing side by side with folks who want to join Joe Biden in his effort to remake America in the image of some socialist nation. That's a serious problem, and we need to make sure that here at the campaign we expose that between now and Election Day.
And it's so refreshing to hear you as the national press secretary for the Trump campaign highlight that, because I am a white, college-educated, suburban mother of three, and I'm the one who's supposed to detest Donald Trump. And the reason why I think people box me into that is because they discount my ability to assess the policy positions that President Trump offers versus whatever the alternative is, because it's, to me, it's not, are you for Joe Biden? It's, are you for Trump or are you against Trump? And I am looking around this country right now. I live on the Illinois side of the Mississippi River here in St. Louis. Chicago directs the state of Illinois into the ground in most every political way possible. And watching what took place in Chicago yesterday, knowing that the president has come to Lori Lightfoot and offered assistance in getting this together, and seeing how Lori Lightfoot is now reacting to this, I want safety for my kids. I want my children to be able to be educated with confidence and safety. That is the most important thing to me in my life. And there is clearly only one candidate in this election in November who is standing for law and order. And, you know, like, if people are going to discount my ability because I'm a suburban mom to actually think on the policy issues like you've suggested, then boy, are they undercutting me. That's as offensive as anything.
No question. And, I tell you, I did a Team Trump Online this past weekend with Lauren Boebert, and she's running for Congress out in Colorado. And it was fascinating because we discussed how Democrats want to defund the police and simultaneously are going to try and take away your guns. So if we're keeping score at home, they're going to keep the police, prevent the police from protecting you. And by the way, you can't protect yourself either because we're going to take your guns. That is just a recipe for disaster and danger for our families. And, you know, I often say that campaigns are done in the abstract where you say, I would want to do this if I get elected, or I promise I'll do this. You don't have to guess how our city streets would look with Joe Biden. We've just seen it for the last 10 weeks. All he's been doing is placating to the radical base of his party, allowing for defunding movements to continue across this country. He's not condemning the rioting, the looting, the burning of churches, the burning of federal buildings. And it has taken some time for the media to kind of wise up here. But the fact is, people at home, on our city streets, in our neighborhoods, are concerned and they're scared because people like Joe Biden are leaving them defenseless, leaving them vulnerable. And President Trump said, we're not going to do that. I'm for law and order. I'm for safety and security. We have to ensure our families can protect themselves, but also that we fully fund the police, those brave men and women in uniform, so that they can continue to do their jobs. Clear differences are what the American people need to see in a campaign, and you're going to see them over the last 80 or so days of this campaign for sure.
Just to reiterate that as well, Joe Biden just yesterday, and speaking here from St. Louis, Missouri, Joe Biden tweeted, "It's been 6 years since Michael Brown's life was taken in Ferguson, reigniting a movement. We must continue the work of tackling systemic racism and reforming policing. Katie Pavlik retweeted it and said, "It's been 6 years since Michael Brown tried to take Officer Wilson's firearm during a struggle after robbing a store. Your own DOJ found this to be true." And I was so glad that Katie came back with that, because the people here who watched our city burn in 2014 watched what happened there, and it was very painful. It was very divisive. And Joe Biden coming out with that, leaving all of the important facts off the table so that he can continue to divide. People see that, and I hope that the campaign continues to pound the table with that law and order message, because it's resounding here, that's for sure.
Well, 81% of African Americans in a poll that just came out said they want to keep the current rate or increase the rate of policing in their neighborhood. So this is an area where most Americans agree. You know, you have to have the police to keep things safe. And for whatever reason, Joe Biden and the Democrats have decided they're going to stand with the rioters and the looters, as opposed to the ones trying to prevent the rioting and the looting. And let's not forget, it was Joe Biden's old campaign staff who bailed out people responsible for destruction and damage of property. They didn't bail out the businesses that were destroyed or work to rebuild the businesses. They paid to get people out of jail who actually caused the businesses harm, the ones who destroyed the property. That's how backwards this whole entire thing is, and I'm glad you're pointing it out, and I'm glad Katie said that as well. And I remember there were a lot of prominent African-American writers at the time who debunked the entire hands up, don't shoot mantra, and it was, you know, to their peril, but to their credit, they said it's just not true. And so for Joe Biden to say that now and try and stoke that hatred over something that wasn't true, you know, is shameful. And I'm so glad Katie and you and others, you know, are coming out and calling him to the mat for it, because it's just not helpful to this country. And look, when you look at the president's message, it's hopeful, it's unifying, it's uplifting, it's patriotic, and you compare and contrast that message that resonates with real Americans across this country, regardless of race, religion, color, or creed, versus Joe Biden, who's about America last, who wants socialist programs enacted in this country, who, when we're trying to get out of an economic issue related to a novel coronavirus, his solution is to raise taxes on 80% of Americans by $4 trillion and to grant amnesty to 11 million people. I mean, Hillary Clinton tried to raise taxes by $2 trillion and she lost. And he looked at that number and said, $2 trillion? Hold my beer. He doubled it automatically. And he's trying to put that on top of American families in a time when we need jobs. We need to rebuild. And so it's just kind of laughable to think that he has any idea how to fix an economy, because we saw another you don't have to think about, or you don't have to guess. You don't have to guess what the economy would look like under Joe Biden. We saw it for 8 years. We saw the depressed wages, the 3.5 million jobs leaving hardworking Americans going right to China, 60,000 manufacturing plants closed, 850,000 jobs gone because of NAFTA. Donald Trump changed all of that and had this economy going. He rebuilt it once. Coronavirus came in, and now he's rebuilding it again.
Yeah, it's so true. Thank you so much for the time today, Hogan. We look forward to connecting to you again. Hogan Gidley, National Press Secretary for the Trump campaign with the facts. We'll talk to you again soon, Hogan. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, bye-bye. Great to talk to him and really get to the bottom of a lot of the politics that, you know, he's in charge of the campaign. That he's the National Press Secretary, I should say, of the campaign. And he's the one who's got to put that message out there. And for him to give the Annie Fry Show some time, we are forever grateful for that opportunity. Quick break. When we come back, Jeannie Ives joins us in the next hour to break down what's going on in Chicago. Stick around.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.